Good morning. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that comes miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Maxine, could you pray?
Yes. Lord, I pray while Pastor Mike preaches, the word of the Lord will spread rapidly in our hearts and be glorified. I thank you for your faithfulness to Pastor Mike. I ask you would strengthen and protect him. I pray that you would, Lord Jesus, direct his heart into the steadfastness of Christ, lead his thoughts today. Put your mighty anointing on him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Maxine, just for a second. I just want you to know that at 5 foot nothing, you are a powerhouse.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I think I might have you up here more because I just feel so much taller when you're standing here. Okay. So thank you for that.
I won't wear high heels.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Oh, that was good. You may be seated. Good morning. Just on a quick note, and a sad note, Linda Wanless passed away this past week. So I know that people are close to her in this body. So just be praying for her family and her friends from here. It's very sad. Linda was a really, really decent person, and she loved God. So keep her friends and her family in your prayers. And for the Mandiches, keep them in your prayers as well. They're battling some sickness right now, so we lift up the Mandich family in Jesus' name. Pray for God's complete healing and their complete recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did you get a sense that there's something going on about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I did too. I was sitting up here saying, oh my goodness. There must be people in life groups that know what the scriptures are because they're coming filled with the scriptures. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And people are speaking it, whether it's prophetically, whether it's in the flesh, they're speaking the things that we're going to be talking about today. The Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit. Chris, is your mom here? Oh, because I would really just give her a few shots here. My first true encounter with the Holy Spirit for me personally came in our house as I listened to my wife praying in the Spirit early in our marriage. And I'm thinking, what is she saying? What is it that's coming out of her? And she would do that from time to time, and she did it a lot when I wasn't around. I knew this because I heard my little children saying things like Sibaku or Piper Does Too or whatever they were saying. I didn't know what it was, but what they were doing was mimicking their mother who prayed in the Spirit all the time. Pastor Jim was the pastor at that time, and I remember we went off to a marriage retreat, and he gave a teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I'd been to this church enough times to know that this was a crazy church. And he did this teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I felt in my spirit that I need to do this. I'd already gotten past all the scary things like we were a cult or we were some crazy group of people. And I listened to his teaching, and it moved me. I couldn't tell you a thing he said today. All I know is he asked if somebody wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know why, but I got up out of my seat, and I went up, and I said, I want to receive it. In my flesh, I did not want to receive it. But I believe the Spirit of God made me get up and go forward and receive it, because deep within, I wanted more of God. And I remember that it was Elaine Miller, Grandma Elaine, who was the one that led me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was a simple prayer. And basically what she taught me was to invite him in. Invite him in and see what gifts he gives you. And that is the message today. We could pack up and go home. Invite him in. That came out in the prophetic words given earlier. But you invite him in and allow him to have you. And I did. And I began to speak in tongues. What did I say? I have no clue. I could tell you the sounds that came out of my mouth. It was like this. That was it. I looked like somebody with a microphone on a cob of corn, and I was... That's what it felt like. And she said, you are a baby in the Holy Spirit. Let this grow. And so it began to grow. And it was powerful. And to this day, when I pray, the greater percent of my prayer is in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that it is the Spirit of God praying through me to the Father. And that's the best prayer. Because when I pray from my own heart, sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's off, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's what it should be. But when the Spirit prays through me, it's everything God desires for me. And it's the picture for me of what praying in the Spirit is. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and see if we can get some good understandings. And it says in verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Wow, that was a statement for me in that day. I went up ignorant. Wanting to, not wanting to. Why? Because I did not know. That's what ignorance is. I simply did not know. He says, do not be ignorant. Learn about this. Why? Because every word that was given here at the prophetic time during the worship spoke to what God is asking of you and of us and of me and of them. It is God speaking to us. And it's a gift from God. And we should know what it is. So he says, do not be ignorant in this. Instead, understand the things that are happening. Many churches fear spiritual gifts. Many places say it should not happen in a church service. It's clear that we disagree. It does happen here. But it has to happen in the right order. And I believe it happens in the right order. The Bible says two or three words given at the most. And he was talking to a church in Corinth. That's where we've been. And he's trying to bring order to a church. And he's bringing order in all kinds of different ways. And this is one of the ways. And that it would be God who's speaking through you. Not you sharing your agenda or your thing. It's God's thing. And we have to be open to what he's saying. So he says, do not be ignorant. People do have fear, but to know that God has a plan in this. He says, do not be ignorant of God's plan for Israel. That's always a thing. Do not be ignorant of his plan for Israel, because we are an attachment or an addendum to his plan for Israel. We are a grafted in group. We are grafted into the vine, the true vine, which is Christ, but his people, Israel, we're grafted into that. We should know what's going on with that. And right now, they're idle. Israel is idle for the most part. I mean, there's Israel believers, but they're idle. So that the time of the Gentiles, that's you and me, can come in. What a plan. God made a way for you and me. We weren't even his original people. By the word, I mean. So don't be ignorant of this. Don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Thank you, Jesus, for your spiritual gifts. The things he calls us to do, we cannot do in our own strength. I can't. We cannot do. Can you share the gospel with somebody? Not in my own strength, I can't. And when I tried, it was really a hot mess. It was embarrassing. I'd be arguing and fighting with people. Who's that at work? That's me at work. That's me in my flesh, trying to win an argument, trying to win a fight, instead of trying to be about the purposes of God. You see, in my own flesh dwells no good thing, so no good thing comes out of me when we're measuring it up against godly things. Don't be ignorant about the second coming of Christ. Don't be ignorant about that. He is coming back for his bride, his church. He's coming back for believers. And he gives us signs of the time, so we're not ignorant about the signs of the time. But what he's saying is be ready, because we don't know the day and the hour. Be ready. Where does the revelation of that come from? It comes from his word and also by his spirit. We can sense the tenor of the day if we're filled with his spirit. And then it says in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Why does it say dumb idols? One, because they can't speak. Why can't they speak? Because there is no life in them. There's no life in the idols. They do nothing for you. Your charms, your metal things that speak to whatever you believe in has no power to do godly things in you. In fact, it has an ability to steer us away from the truth of what God is all about. The idols are dumb because there's no life and they can't speak. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We can't cuss out God if we're filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're able to cuss out God, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. And nobody can say truly in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord if the Spirit of God is not in you. So how can we be light and salt to a world if we cannot say Jesus is Lord? How can we do that? How can we be that? Well, we can't. We're steering people in an off direction if we do that out of our flesh. If we say Jesus is Lord, not filled with the Spirit of God, and they're just words, they steer people wrongly, I believe. But it says you can't say it rightly without the Spirit of God. John 3:34 says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." That's a big deal. He doesn't give it by measure. He gives it overflowing when you ask for it. I stand here convicted before this church today because I'm not asking for the overflowing filling of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. I did today. How come? Because I'm going to stand up in front of a whole bunch of people sharing this word, and it's frightening if I do it in my own strength. But then what about the rest of the week? I should be asking for an overflowing filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God's called me to go and tell. Go and share. And that's a personal conviction for me, and I'm welcome. I feel good sharing it with the church because I bet most of us struggle with this. And then God gives us a gift. And this title is really gifts of the Spirit, but God gives good gifts. And the greatest gift that he's going to give you and me is his Spirit. Jesus said, "It is better for you that I go, that I may send to you the Comforter." So Jesus, here in the flesh, the Son of God, the living Word of God, said, "It's better that I leave you that I've grown and developed for 3 years, because then the Holy Spirit will come." And the Holy Spirit is sent to do so much more than train up 12. The Holy Spirit is meant to come and dwell in you and me. Not just the Spirit of him in terms of salvation, but the Spirit of him in terms of doing what he's called us to do. To be a picture of the living Christ is what he's called us to do. To be a mouthpiece of the living Christ is what he's called us to do. In John 15:26, it says, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." How do you know that the Spirit that you're asking to come in, that has come in, is of God? Because it will testify of Christ. If it testifies of agendas and personal things and things that are askew and off, that's not the Holy Spirit in you. That's a demonic spirit in you, probably. Or it's your own flesh. No, the Holy Spirit will point you to Christ, and he always does. He points us to the Son. Where's the Son now? He's up with the Father, interceding for you and me. Why do I like to pray in the Spirit? Because the Spirit takes it right to the Son, who's talking to the Father. On whose behalf? On my behalf. On your behalf. When you're praying in the Spirit. Oh, this gift is incredible. And it just amazes me that many churches don't want to deal with it. Why? Because there's a war that happens, and it's a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's where the war is. So when we say, we don't want the Spirit here because somebody's going to do something goofy, that's warfare happening. And it's subtle. And it knocks us off the game. And we say, we don't want to go to the Holy Spirit because people will get crazy. And you know what? People will get crazy. And so we deal with the craziness. All right? We'll deal with the craziness. Not harshly, just in a method of teaching. Come to the worship night. You'll hear people praying in the Spirit. You'll hear people singing in the Spirit. You'll hear people giving prophetic words just like you heard here. And if it's out of order, we'll gently correct. Why? Because it's a big deal. We want it to be in the right order because it is a gift. It is a gift for the church. And without this gift, the church dies. Very honestly, it doesn't grow. We'd be the last generation without the Spirit of God. In verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts." So the greatest gift is God giving us his Spirit first. But then he gives us gifts beyond. And what are the purposes of the gifts beyond? It's so that we can do what he's called us to do. Right? So he gives us a diversity of gifts, he says, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works on all of them. We're not cookie-cutted out of a tapestry or pastry or I don't even know what it's called. It's you bakers know what I mean. Apparently I don't. We're not all the same. And God gifts us all differently. And we'll talk about that in just a second here. But those different gifts are for a purpose. He gives us gifts and they're for a purpose. And the purposes are not my purposes or yours. They're his purposes. And if we take some of the gifts away, the overall thing is no good. Or it's less than what it could be. Let me kind of explain this a little further. Jesus' name. In terms of gifts, I tried counting them. I kept getting lost. There's a lot of duplicate gifts. But I came up around 28, and then it dawned on me that I probably scratched the surface of all the gifts that God has given us to do what he's called us to do. But he gives us very clearly in this. He says in verse 8, he says, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. A word of wisdom. That is a revelation for God, from God, that goes beyond what we would know or what we should know. A word of wisdom. God speaks to me about something I'm clueless about, and I speak it out. And if it's from God, it's beautiful and it's accurate. If it's from me, it's altered. It's off. It's not quite where it ought to be. So it's supernatural understanding. That's a word of wisdom. You should ask for that. You should ask for that. Jesus' name. Jesus. He gives us the gift of faith. He gives us a measure of faith, but he gives us the gift of faith. Faith is us believing in things that naturally shouldn't happen on one level. Faith is believing the things of God when in my humanity I can't believe it. He gives us this gift. And to each he gives a measure of it. You know what? You should ask for the gift of faith. The disciples did. John the Baptist did. Increase our faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We should be asking for more faith. When I walk in faith, I tend to walk a little bit more in power. Because the one who I have faith in can deliver. And the one who I have faith in who can deliver is actually residing in me and you, if you've invited him in. So I can go to that place. Thank you for that, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What is that? That I may prophesy. That I would speak the words of God that come from the Spirit of God to build up the body. So today, in this service, you heard three different prophetic messages given. And as I listen to those messages, by the way, James, I love it when you recite it so people online can hear it. I get bits and pieces, so I don't mean to offend anybody. That's just how I work. But I heard this beautiful synergy from this flow of his word that fit together for us to hear. It wasn't rambled. It wasn't scattered. No, there was a clean line of thought because it comes from the Spirit of God. Ask for that gift. Ask for it. Desire spiritual gifts. But you desire the gift that God has for you. Here's what happens. We tend to desire the gifts that look pretty appealing to us. We tend to desire the gifts that we think make us more important. And that's not at all what God wants. Desire the gifts that he has for you. Because the moment you ask for them, he's going to give them to you. and you may not see the manifestation of it, he may need to clean you up first before you get to use those at some level. But once you ask for it, he'll give it to you. Because it says in Luke chapter 11 that we're to ask for good gifts. How much more does our Father in heaven give good gifts to men, especially the Holy Spirit, it says. You ask for the Holy Spirit. And then you say, God, what gifts do you have for me? I want them. Don't ask for my gifts, although you may have the same ones. Ask for the ones he has for you. And what are the gifts? The gifts are spiritual abilities from God to do what he wants you to do. It's for the benefit of the kingdom and the growing of the body, the church. Those are the two primary things. And also, that when we ask for the Spirit of God, he grows you and me. Because the Spirit always points us to Christ. In this church right now, he's pointing us to Christ in a very deliberate and applicable way through life groups. And that's basically, we come together as a group of people. We do a very simple study. And when we hear everybody else in the group that's done their simple study, and it's simple, you're fed. It's all about Christ. And he is now in you in a greater way because you absorb it because the Spirit is present in the room. Thank you for your gifts, Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say some of the purposes. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. We desire spiritual gifts, gifts of tongues. Gifts of tongues is how I pray. When I pray in the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God petitioning on my behalf to the Father. That's a gift that I have. It's a lot different than I've grown in my gift. I don't know what I'm saying, but God does. And it's the Spirit of God speaking through me to the Son, to the Father. And those prayers get answered, and they're for my benefit. So he goes on to say a little bit more about it. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So what I just prayed, and that's kind of what it sounds like when I pray in the Spirit, nobody really understood what I said, unless you have a gift of discernment, which is another gift. But God does. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's okay, because I'm praying in my own world for things I want God to do for me for my benefit. So for people, they're mysteries. For me, it's a mystery sometimes. But I don't care because I have faith and I trust God in it. Because why? Because he's given me a gift of faith. But he who prophesies, what are prophesies? Prophecies are what you heard people give in the service during the worship. They speak a word, intelligible words that you can hear and understand. And that uplifts and benefits the body who are within earshot of those people speaking. That's a beautiful gift. And it's better than speaking in tongues in the sense that it benefits people. Where when I speak in tongues, it benefits me. When I speak in tongues on behalf of others, that's a little different. That benefits people. But this one here is very clearly, you all heard what people said in the prophetic. And it's good. Then it goes on to say, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's what I was just talking about. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Sometimes you'll hear somebody pray in tongues. And then all of a sudden there's some silence. And then that same person might share what God revealed to them in the understanding. He gives their interpretation. That's okay. That happens. It's, to me, this is, and I could be off on this, it's really beautiful when somebody speaks in tongues and another person gives the interpretation because it's a picture of the body at work. And I love that. But if somebody does not give it, the person that gave the word in tongues should give the interpretation. And the purpose is it edifies and builds up others. And verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he, and that's a capital H, he, as God wills. So, first thing, we know that there is one Spirit. One Spirit. There's no spirits. That's not capitalized. That's not God. There's one Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit. Part of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just show up at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was present with the Father and the Son from before the foundations of the earth eternally. He hovered over the waters at creation. He hovered over Mary at her incarnation. At the incarnation of Jesus, I mean. It's the same Holy Spirit. When you hear of spirituals and spiritualists, man, let that be a red flag and get out of there. That's not of God. Those are counterfeits. You run and flee from them. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Bible says that God said, or the Bible says that God is Spirit. And he calls us to worship in a certain way. He says true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. What's truth? It's the Word of God. Who's the Word of God? Jesus said, I am the living Word. Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the living Word of God. Now try separating the Trinity. You can't, because it wasn't meant to be separated. The Holy Trinity is truly one with three different functions and works that they do. He does. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you go to a church and they start talking about there's just the Word, nothing else, I would say run. If you go to a church that just flows in the Spirit and does nothing with the Word, I'm going to say that's not good for you. Spirit and truth is how we worship God. That's a big deal. And they're both one with the Father. You know what the beautiful thing is? And this doesn't make us gods, but when Jesus prayed, he prayed that we would be one with him like they are one with one another. Now that's a mystery. That's deep. But I'll just let you hang on that thought. Second thing I want to talk about is the diversity in the body. This body has many parts. So a body, what is the body? This church here is a church body. I don't know, 150, 200 people here. We are the body of Christ. Some in here are not the body of Christ. You're astray. That sounds harsh. But the body of Christ are those who come together with a common belief and a common understanding of who God is. That Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That salvation comes by no other, through no other. But it's at the name of Jesus that we bow before God. Everything bows above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. For there's no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. We need to know this. This is what this body here believes. And then there's other things beside that that we believe. Or in addition to that, I should say. In addition to that. That links up with that statement. That's the body of Christ. In the body, God gives gifts. Why? Because he wants the church to function right. And to function right, we have to function by the Spirit of God, which is the power of God. There's no winging it. There's no doing it our way, because the thing dies. It's not of God. So he gives different gifts to different people. And we should appreciate those gifts, because without those gifts, it doesn't work. I said there's about 28 gifts. I'm not going to go through each one, but I'm going to give you an idea just to make the picture clear. Do you ever come into the church and all of a sudden somebody hugs you? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You walk through the doors and you get hugged. You get love. I just heard the name. Yes, she does. And she has a team of people that work with her that reach out and welcome people as they come in to this room. This hospitable gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit, I believe. Well, it is. I know it is. And you walk into this place and you feel welcome, like you belong. And you should, because you do. But it's this team that is gifted in doing this. I cannot run around and hug every person that comes into place. I just can't. And I'm a hugger. You know, there's a thing about hugging women and then trying to hug men who don't want to be hugged. You know, it's just, there's just a thing. But this team reaches out. And it's so vital and so necessary. And they don't just do it in their own strength because they spend time praying before they do it. Then there's men that you don't see, deacons in the church, doing things that nobody sees them do, but it makes the thing work. Because they're operating in a gifting of service. That's a gift given to us by God. And when they operate in that gift, the church functions better. And if they don't operate in the gift, there's glitches and there's dead spots. It doesn't work as well. But nobody sees them. Yet they're so incredibly important to what happens. Gift of worship. I'm telling you, I know this place had 15 people in it if there was no worship. Worship prepares the heart to receive this message and messages that we've had over the last few weeks that have been relatively hard messages to deliver and probably really hard to hear. But the worship prepares our heart. Why? Because we spend time worshiping God for who he is and praising him for what he does. And we go to that place and now it's okay. God's in control. He's up there talking about sin again. I can handle this. God's in control. He's talking about my personal life. Right now, I know he's just talking to me. Maybe I am. But it's okay because God's in control. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit and how you move through the different giftings of people. I'm going to read a list of giftings. This is just some of them because I know there's more. Out of the book of Romans, we get exhortation, which is building up and encouraging. We get giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching. That's just from the book of Romans. Those are gifts that God has given us, and they're from the Holy Spirit. And when we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, those gifts come out of us, and it is necessary for the body to have those gifts in operation. What about leadership? Sometimes you don't even see the leadership of the building, but they're making the decisions that keep us on a course that's straight, that's narrow, that's the course it ought to be. And it's a gift. And it takes special people to work in that place. Well, I want to be a leader. Of course you do. Does God want you to be a leader? No, he wants me to hug people. Go hug people. Do the gifting that God has given you. I don't want to like go around hugging people. Okay, that's okay. I get that. It can be weird sometimes. Go serve. Well, that's not so glorious. No, it's not. But it makes it work. And this is what I'm gifting you in. Become a servant. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Why? He's painting a picture of what we're called to do as a church. And here's the deal. When you do the things that look like the little things in terms of the gifting, you're the first line that reaches people. And for the first time that they experience the love of God. Because I'm believing that if I'm speaking about sin up here and the sin that's in your life and it's destroying, that's not doing a whole lot for you. It's doing a whole lot for you, but you're not feeling it. But if you come in after being loved on, reached out to, cared about, worshiping God because you saw who he was during the worship, now you can hear that message about sin in your life. Book of Corinthians, he gives us administration, apostle, discernment. Apostles are people that are sent ones. And some people believe that after the 12 apostles, there were no more apostles. I'll say this. That may be true. I don't know. But I know this. There's the apostolic office. People working in that office doing apostle-type things, like missionaries who go and break ground for the kingdom of God. They're working in the apostolic. They didn't get the 3-year one-on-one teaching from Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is at work in them, and they're working in that office. Discernment. Discernment is this. You're sitting in this room. Somebody gives out a word. You'll know if it's from God or not. You'll know if it's from the flesh of man or not. Why? Because God gives you this discernment. An understanding beyond what you should understand. Seeing untruth when it's presented as truth. That's discernment. Reading a person in such a way that you know in the depth of you that they're either on or they're off. They're looking to hurt you or destroy you, or they're sincere in what they're doing. You can read it. That's what discernment is. It's a great gift, and it can haunt you because you know too much sometimes. You know, I don't know that that's my strongest gift, but I know the people that have it, and it's got to be hard what they see. I really hate it when they read me. Faith, healings. Not that you get healed, but that when you lay hands on somebody, that the gift from God is that there's a power that he tends to work through you as a vessel that people would be healed. What a powerful, beautiful gift. It's one of those prideful gifts. It's right up there with some of the other ones, prophet. Those gifts make me think that I'm more important than the other gift. No, it's what God gave you. Now use it well. What does that mean? Use it in humility. And remember that the gift is from God for his purposes, and not your edification or glory. It's for his glory, for the glory of God. And it's a gift that requires faith. Well, I want that gift of faith. We should all want that. So when God says to desire him, desire the ones that he has for you. Ask him what those are. Pastor James, you can come on up here. Apostle, okay, we said that one. Knowledge, miracles. That's beyond just healings. It's other kinds of miracles. A lot of that is, you think it might be Old Testament stuff? Well, they're still here today. And miracles happen. Miracles happen. We sing the song, miracles happen when he moves. Right? They do. Just raise your hand. Has anybody in here seen a miracle? Wow, praise God. It's beautiful. Miracles are God doing unnatural things, things that are not normal in nature. And he goes beyond nature because he controls nature and does whatever that work is. That is a miracle. And I've said this, Pastor James, you've heard me for years, even with the youth group. The greatest miracle God does, I'm just going to tell you, is when he reaches down by his spirit and he touches the human heart. And he changes it. And he changes the human heart is the greatest miracle because our hearts are hard apart from God. He says our heart is like stone and he turns our stony heart into flesh. That's the greatest miracle. I was heading one way and now he has me here heading another. Repentance is tied into that. These are gifts that God gives. Pastor, oh, I made the list. Tongues interpretation. Talked about that. Wisdom. Celibacy. You single people. This is going to sound hard because maybe your mind doesn't want it, but celibacy is a gift from God. And we talked a little bit about it last week because it's a gift that sends us out that says we can serve him totally devoted. Paul made a big push for that and said, this is the better way. But then he goes on to say, but if you burn, you can't handle it, you need to have a spouse. Then be married, and that's good too. Don't deny the gift of celibacy, though, because it is a gift. Hospitality. Oh, this church has been fun because we have hospitable people in it operating out of that gift. Martyrdom. That's really setting your life aside for the benefit of another or others. Jeter said, greater love has no man than one who lays his life down for his brother. And he calls us, in a sense, to do the same thing to a brother or sister, that we become less, he become greater. And you know what else? The others become greater than we. And therefore, we go out and we start to do the other gifts. We serve, we bless, we love, we care about, we give. Missionary, that's in the apostolic office, like I said before. And then, if you're anything like my sister, the nun, they take a vow of poverty. I tried to sidestep that one as much as I possibly could. Not looking for poverty. But the purpose is that they're totally devoted to God, and their faith and their trust is in him and him alone. And it's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious word. Thank you, Jesus. I want to bring a conclusion to this service, but I really want to give people an opportunity to receive these gifts. And the way we do that is we ask for them. You hear a phrase called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a baptism unto salvation. You get the Holy Spirit at salvation, but a baptism unto the Holy Spirit is really being baptized to do works. The Bible says, for by grace that you're saved, that alone is what saves us. For by grace that you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then he goes on to say that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Bob, I know you're laughing right now. Created to do good works. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for, that we're able to do good works as God would have us do those with the effect that he desires. So what we're going to do is, Gerald and Stephanie, if you guys could come up here. Sally and I will be up here. And I'm going to ask, I don't even know who else I got out there. Peter and Teresa. Can you guys come up here? Tracy and Janie, if you two could come up here, that would be really good. And if you want to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God would empower you to do the works that he's really desiring for you to do, or you've been baptized in the Spirit and you want gifts, you don't even know what they are, you come and ask him for gifts. Ask him for what gifts he has for you to do what he wants you to do. So Pastor James is going to play for a little bit, so you can just come forward. If you're not interested in this part, you're dismissed right now in Jesus' name. You can go and be blessed. But for those that want this, this is a big deal. This is what empowers us to do the things God's called us to do. So, Heavenly Father, I bless this congregation in Jesus' name. Let them have a great day ahead. And Father, for those who you've called to come up and get the prayer they need for where you're taking them, let them come. I come against any hindrance against that in Jesus' name. And I pray that they come with freedom and willfully accept what you have for them in Jesus' name. Amen.